That cycle hands off methyl groups to facilitate some 200 different processes. One of those methyl groups goes to an enzyme produced by your COMT gene, the COMT enzyme. When that happens, two processes should occur. One, estrogen is methylated and expelled from your body. You need some estrogen, of course. Although men and women need different levels, you both need some. If you clear it too quickly, that over-efficiency causes your estrogen levels to drop too low. That's what may happen with a fast COMT. On the other hand, you don't want it to linger and cause your estrogen levels to remain too high. That's what happens with a slow COMT. Your goal is to find the Goldilocks speed for estrogen elimination. Not too fast, not too slow, but just right. 2. Your stress neurotransmitters are methylated. Methylated dopamine becomes norepinephrine. Methylated norepinephrine becomes epinephrine. Methylated epinephrine is ready to be expelled from your body by another set of enzymes. Dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine are all stress neurotransmitters, as we've seen. They're designed to make you feel alert, focused, and ready to spring into action. The stress response gets you breathing more quickly, causes your muscles to tense up, and sharpens your mind. It also makes it harder for you to digest your food, have sex, conceive a child, or fall asleep. The relaxation response, on the other hand, is supposed to counter those effects. Your breathing returns to normal, your muscles loosen, your mind relaxes, and you become ready to digest, have sex, conceive, and sleep. The nicknames say it all. Fight or flight. Then, rest and digest. So once again, you're looking for that happy medium. When your stress neurotransmitter levels are too high, you're in a panic, anxious, and unable to settle down. When they're too low, you're unmotivated, listless, and unable to focus. Furthermore, you want those biochemicals to remain high during the day when you're working, focused, and meeting challenges, and then to decline in the evening and overnight when you're relaxing and sleeping. Ideally, too, your stress neurotransmitters drop at every mealtime so you can properly digest your food. If your COMT is too slow, your stress neurotransmitters tend to remain in your body, causing you to be wired too much of the time. Conversely, if your COMT is too fast, your stress neurotransmitters leave your body too quickly, and it's hard for you to build up enough stress to stay focused and motivated and on point. Let's combine what we learned in the previous chapter with this new information. What happens if your body isn't moving through the methylation cycle efficiently? Well, then, as you may recall, you're going to be either short on SAMe or not able to utilize it very well. In either of those cases, your COMT isn't going to function optimally. If you have a slow COMT, it moves even more slowly, so that even more stress neurotransmitters and estrogen remain in your system longer than they should. Your dirty gene's weaknesses grow, while its strengths decline. If you have a fast COMT, being low in SAMe will at first optimize your mood and focus. You'll think, wow, I used to be so spacey, and now I get so much work done. But if your methylation cycle is disrupted for too long, your fast COMT might start acting like a slow COMT. The stress neurotransmitters that used to fly out of your system are now staying in your system much longer than they should, and you feel wired, irritable, and overwhelmed by stress. As you can see, your COMT requires a balancing act. Whatever type of COMT you were born with, you want to methylate the Goldilocks way, neither too fast nor too slowly, but just right. Do not self-medicate with SAMe. I know that the internet is full of SAMe success stories, making it seem like the miracle supplement of all time, and I'm not saying that you should never self-medicate with SAMe. If you learn how it affects you and when it's safe to take it and you really have a deficit, it can be a wonder supplement. But if you don't look at the big picture, SAMe can really mess you up. One of my clients, a successful concert pianist, used to take SAMe before bed to help her sleep. Since she had a slow COMT, some extra methylation helped her get the stress neurotransmitters out of her system. But if she took SAMe on days when she wasn't stressed, she found herself tired, depressed, and crying all the time. On those days, speeding up her methylation got too many stress neurotransmitters out of her system. I had another client who gave some SAMe to her behavior problem kid, and his problems got even worse. When she put her son on the Clean Genes Protocol, he calmed down and became more cooperative, simply because he was now eating well and sleeping soundly and getting the exercise that his body craved while staying away from the video games and sweets and chemicals that dirtied up his genes. She had found a lifelong approach to diet and lifestyle that brought out the best in her son. You get the idea. Please, don't run out to the store and buy supplements first thing. Put those car keys down and wait to complete your soak and scrub. If you do need supplements, you'll find out about it when you do your spot cleaning. What makes COMT dirty? To see a list of issues that makes COMT dirty, check out the enhancement. Dopamine dangers. One of your COMT's main jobs is to methylate dopamine, converting it to norepinephrine. If your COMT is dirty, either born dirty or acting that way, you could end up with a form of dopamine known as dopamine quinone, which is very harmful to the brain. Dopamine quinone has been associated with medications used to treat Parkinson's disease and ADHD, as well as contributing to these diseases themselves, so you will want to consider your options carefully. Even when your dopamine is in the form you want, you should avoid super high levels of it. Excess dopamine can make you agitated and irritable, and it can cause you to respond poorly to stress. The right amount of dopamine gives you an extra jolt that's just enough to get you performing at your best. But too much can cause you to freeze up, panic, and forget everything you ever learned. I know actors and actresses, for example, who are terrific in front of the camera, where their moderate dopamine levels stimulate them to a wonderful performance. But in front of a live audience, talk about stress, their dopamine levels go through the roof. As a result of that biochemical flood, they become paralyzed with stage fright, are overwhelmed by stress, and forget their lines. It's the difference between a fun roller coaster ride and a truly terrifying trip down a mountain in a car with no brakes. Each of us is unique, with our own personally ideal dopamine levels. If I tried to operate at Margot's dopamine levels, I'd probably burn out. If she tried to operate at mine, she'd be bored stiff. But even Margot can go overboard. Therefore, one of her tasks, as a slow COMT person, is to learn how to take sufficient breaks and practice enough stress relief to keep her dopamine at manageable levels. Likewise, Blake's calm, laid-back approach to life is a real strength, and he owes it to the naturally low levels of dopamine created by his fast COMT. But if Blake's dopamine levels get too low, he becomes distractible, unmotivated, and forgetful, and then he needs to find a way to rev himself up. Both Blake and Margot need to discover the right balance of stimulation and relaxation that fits their genetic profile, their personality, and their health. You need to do that too. We all do. The right balance may be different for each one of us, so we all need to find our own balance. Levodopa. Levodopa is a dopamine-boosting medication commonly given to people with Parkinson's disease. This might seem to make sense, since Parkinson's is associated with low levels of dopamine. As we've seen before, though, tinkering with any one part of your system can cause problems overall. When levodopa raises dopamine levels, it puts a big strain on the COMT gene, thereby increasing dopamine quinone, which in turn makes the Parkinson's worse. Parkinson's patients would do far better to live according to the principles of the Clean Genes Protocol and find gentler, more natural ways of boosting their dopamine levels, ways that improve function throughout their genes and neurotransmitters. I've had some success treating clients in this way, without the risks of medications such as levodopa. Ritalin and Adderall. If your kid struggles with ADHD, he or she might be prescribed methylphenidate, sold under the brand name Ritalin, among others, which increases dopamine. As you now understand, a fast COMT can lead to low dopamine levels, which are frequently responsible for poor focus and lack of motivation. So, yes, bumping up the dopamine can sometimes help. As you can probably guess by now, though, the best way to do that is by starting and sticking permanently with the Clean Genes Protocol, which has helped many a kid around the globe. Furthermore, certain drugs can create extra problems for a child with a fast COMT. Methylphenidate, for example, can turn a fast COMT into a slow COMT, and then your child struggles with those symptoms. To make matters much worse, methylphenidate may increase not only dopamine, but also dopamine quinone, which, as we just saw, is toxic to the brain and may result in Parkinson's disease and other neurological disorders. The risks are just not worth it. Now, what if you're an adult who thinks that Adderall, the so-called adult version of Ritalin, might help you focus and bear down? Well, Adderall is basically an amphetamine. It's thought to make dopamine and norepinephrine more available to your brain. The problem is, if you use it too often, you get a rebound effect. Your brain's levels of dopamine go down, waiting for that next hit of Adderall to bump them up. Overall, you get dopamine depletion, plus cell death from the amphetamine. And yes, Adderall can also generate dopamine quinone. Your takeaway? The occasional use of Adderall will indeed stimulate your dopamine levels, and if you use it only once every few months, you won't notice any ongoing effects. Any more often, however, and you run the risk of long-term damage from dopamine quinone, especially if you have a dirty GST-GPX gene, or if your body is struggling with an overload of heavy metals. There are better ways to stimulate dopamine production if you really need it, especially the Clean Genes Protocol. ADHD support without Ritalin. Helping a kid with a fast COMT. Do these sound familiar? Will you please stop moving incessantly while we're talking? I asked you to take out the garbage. Every Tuesday night is garbage night. Why do I have to remind you each week? I swear, if your head weren't on your shoulders, you'd forget it. Dad, I forgot my soccer jersey. Can you bring it? My game starts in 10 minutes. Yep, that's me and my oldest son, Tasman. I love him and all my kids, but man, can they push my buttons. Tasman is a fantastic kid. He's nearly a straight-A student, respectful, usually, and an incredible athlete. If you saw him in school or came over to the house for dinner, you would never know he struggles with ADHD. He does, though. He has a fast COMT and a healthy methylation cycle, so he burns through his dopamine and norepinephrine like there's no tomorrow. To make matters worse, the kid is a kid. He's a tall, lanky, growing boy who doesn't eat nearly enough protein for all the soccer he plays and all the stress neurotransmitters he burns through. So I'm constantly at him, "Will you please eat more protein so you can think clearly and bulk up?" I keep telling him that going to the gym to build muscle is a total waste of time if he doesn't eat adequate protein. Sheesh. Dads don't know anything, though, right? So, how does he manage to excel in school? How is he active and social and not bored and depressed? I know my biochemistry, and now so do you. You know that COMT's job is to burn through several biochemicals, including dopamine. The key, then, is to help Tasman, with his fast COMT, make more dopamine. And it turns out that dopamine is made from protein, specifically from the amino acid known as tyrosine, which is found in both animal and vegetable forms of protein. Can you guess what I give Tasman to further support his dopamine? That's right, supplemental tyrosine. He has a bottle in his bathroom, and he takes a capsule every morning. I don't even have to remind him anymore. He's already told me, "Dad, I feel so much better when I take tyrosine that you never need to ask." Since he started building up his dopamine levels naturally through protein and tyrosine, he's a different kid. The system isn't foolproof, though. For about 3 weeks recently, Tasman was being irritable and just a punk. At first, I was annoyed. Then I stopped being a dad for a moment and put on my doctor hat. "Tasman, how many tyrosine capsules are you taking?" He snapped. 2, 3, or 4, depending on the day. Bam. Because one capsule made him feel good, he assumed that multiple capsules would make him feel better. A reminder to me, which I sternly passed on to him, that dosages matter. I told him to stop taking tyrosine until further notice, and within a day and a half I got my good kid back. Then he started forgetting stuff again and sleeping too much. I instructed him to take 1 tyrosine a day, but only when he feels he needs it. On days when he's got a lot to do, especially a lot of schoolwork or stuff that takes mental focus, he takes a tyrosine. On vacation, not so much. So that's where we are now. "Tune into your body," I tell Tasman. "Understand the biochemistry and how you're feeling." As he matures and starts increasing his protein intake, I'll likely reduce his tyrosine even further, especially as he becomes more self-aware and better able to judge what his body is telling him. Even when your self-medication is all through natural means, for example, the all-natural supplement tyrosine, cleaning up your genes is a balancing act, one that requires you to be continually aware of what you need. Listen to your body, and help your kids learn to listen to theirs. What you hear will always be better than what a doctor can ever tell you. After all, your doctor is just a coach. You or your child is the athlete. It's up to you to get an awesome coach, but more important, it's up to you to put in the work, on and off the court. Key nutrients for a healthy COMT. As you saw in Chapter 5, the methylation cycle depends upon a number of nutrients. Riboflavin B2, folate B9, cobalamin B12, protein, and magnesium. Because your COMT depends on the methylation cycle, it also depends on those nutrients. That final nutrient, magnesium, is especially important for your COMT to function properly. So if you don't have enough magnesium in your diet, and about 50% of all U.S. residents don't, you're going to dirty up your COMT. Magnesium, dark leafy greens, nuts, seeds, fish, beans, avocados, whole grains. Besides dietary insufficiency, there are 2 common reasons for magnesium deficiency. Caffeine intake and the long-term use of a group of antacids called proton pump inhibitors, PPIs. When we get to the specifics of the Clean Genes Protocol, I'm going to help you stop using both caffeine and antacids while offering you some alternatives to promote better digestion and alertness. I don't drink caffeine or take any type of medication. None. You won't need to either. No pill for an ill. Remember, I don't want you running down to the vitamin store to buy magnesium or any other supplement, not until you've completed the first 2 weeks of your Clean Genes Protocol. You have some 20,000 genes in your body. Let's not start medicating or supplementing them individually until we see what happens when we clean them all up together. If you try the supplement route first, you'll be frustrated. So don't. making the most of COMT. I'll never forget the last conversations I had with Margot and Blake. Even though her COMT was slow, and his, like Tasman's, was fast, they both said something similar. Margot said, "I feel like knowing this biochemistry has helped me understand myself in a way I never could before. I always felt bad about being tense and wired and high energy, like it was somehow my fault that I couldn't be like other people. Now I see that I just have a lot of extra dopamine. That's cool. That's very cool. But I can't let it get out of hand." Blake said, "I always felt like I was maybe lazy and sort of slow. But it wasn't that. I just had low dopamine levels. I like the way I am, to be honest. But I'm glad I can do something about the parts of my biochemistry that don't always work so well." For both Margot and Blake, the key was self-awareness. Margot needed to notice when her dopamine levels were climbing, when she was getting too tense or too keyed up or too wrapped up in work. She needed to make a conscious effort to take breaks, to slow down periodically, to balance her high-intensity action with some serious relaxation. She didn't need to calm down or take life easy. She needed to figure out how to make her high-intensity style work better. Blake needed to notice when he got spacey, forgetful, or unfocused. He needed to make a conscious effort to support his fast COMT with the high-protein diet, and maybe to give himself an occasional boost of tyrosine. He didn't need to push himself harder. Rather, he needed to learn how to work smarter, how to give his brain what it needed to complete the tasks he chose to undertake. As noted above, the key to supporting your dirty COMT, whether it's fast or slow, is to be aware. You can't take appropriate action until you know what the problem is. Having been born with either a slow COMT or a fast COMT has both advantages and disadvantages, as we've seen. But you can't maximize the advantages unless you're self-aware. Now that you've had a little biochemistry lesson in this chapter, you have the tools to understand yourself better. So I want you to do something right now. Yes, literally, right now. Tune in. Pay attention to your mind and your body. Put the book down for a moment and ask yourself this question. How are you feeling right at this moment? Are you giddy? Excited? Irritated? Bored? Unable to focus? Depressed? Bothered by a headache? Which word or phrase describes you at this moment? With that information, how do you think your COMT is acting? Slow or fast? Do you think your COMT was born dirty or is just acting dirty? Does the feeling you've just identified in yourself come and go, suggesting that your COMT is acting dirty? Or has it stuck around as long as you can remember? Born dirty. My job is to give you the tools to understand how your genes are contributing to your mood and overall health. Your job is to give yourself the attention you deserve and act on what that attention reveals to you. And I promise, your moods have never experienced such consistent bliss as they will after 4 weeks on the Clean Genes Protocol. Meanwhile, here are a few suggestions for making the most of your COMT. You can start these right away, even before you begin your Clean Genes Protocol. For both slow and fast COMT, optimize your weight, because body fat creates estrogen, making it harder for your COMT to regulate estrogen levels. Avoid as much as possible any contact between your food and plastic. Plastics are xenoestrogens, meaning that they mimic the effects of estrogen in your body. Your COMT is already struggling to optimize your estrogen levels. Why dump a lot of extra estrogen into your system? The subgroup of BPA plastics are also xenoestrogens, so avoid them too, even if they're not in contact with your food. BPA can be found in a discouraging number of places, everywhere from the inside of cans to the outside of cash register receipts. But do what you can to stay away from it. Meditate at least a few minutes every day. If you're overcharged, Meditation will calm you down. If you're undercharged, it will help you focus. Go to bed and get up according to a fixed routine to help your body get the most refreshing sleep. If you're wired, a regular bedtime helps cue your body towards sleep. If you're scattered and unfocused, a regular bedtime helps create a routine that encourages focus. A sleep app such as Sleep Cycle can help. See the enhancement. Avoid the herbicide Roundup, as it affects aromatase activity. Aromatase is an enzyme that converts other biochemicals to estrogen. Also avoid all non-organic soy and soy products, which have likely been farmed with Roundup. More generally, limit your exposure to all herbicides, pesticides, and other endocrine-disrupting chemicals in your home, garden, and personal care products, including cosmetics. Especially damaging are glyphosate, phthalates, and dioxins. Eat as clean as you can. Buy organic produce, at least for the foods that are most likely to be exposed to industrial chemicals. The Environmental Working Group, www.ewg.org, has a list of foods, the worst offenders when it comes to toxins, that you should buy organic, and a list of foods that you can buy conventionally farmed. To balance your estrogen levels, eat more beets, carrots, onions, artichokes, and cruciferous vegetables, broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts, cabbage. Bitter vegetables such as dandelion greens and radishes support the liver, which metabolizes your estrogen, so load up on them as well. Be sure to eat a maximum of 3 times a day, balanced meals that each contain some protein, some carbs, and some fats. This way your blood sugar is balanced, and so are your moods. Declutter your home, office, garage, yard, and car. The more noise you have around you, the more noise you have in your head. That's the last thing you need. Keep things minimal and organized, and consider feng shui to order your environment. For slow COMT, monitor your stress levels throughout the day. Notice when you're getting more revved up or tense than you enjoy being. Develop ways to slow down, even for a minute or two. Take a few deep, slow breaths. Listen to music. Pause before each meal to appreciate the sights and scents of the food, so that when you start eating, you're relaxed and not stressed. Make sure you get all the breaks, days off, and vacations you need. You might feel like a superhero, and most of the time you might even act like one, but overexertion is your kryptonite. Listen to your body and rest as needed. Burn it off. Exercise or sport of any type is a great way to burn through excess stress neurotransmitters. Be aware of how you feel in response to caffeine, chocolate, and tea. If you're feeling irritable or anxious from them, reduce your intake. For fast COMT, protein is your friend. Sugar and refined flour are your enemies. Make sure to get high-quality protein in every meal, that is, organic protein that isn't deep-fried or buried in a white bread sandwich. If you start the day with a starchy, low-protein breakfast, you're setting yourself up for a low-dopamine day, and your focus, motivation, and energy levels will suffer. Sleep is also your friend. During sleep, your body makes more of everything you're short on. In the context of COMT, you need to give your body that time to make more dopamine. Everybody needs different amounts of sleep to function well. Figure out what you need and make sure to give yourself that advantage every day. Participate in brain-engaging activities like dancing, playing an instrument, sports, fast board games, not boring slow ones. And yes, even some video games. Don't go overboard on the latter. They can be addictive and sometimes too stimulating. Hugs. Hugs raise dopamine. While caffeine and chocolate may be helping you, don't overly rely on them. Try the above suggestions instead. If you sleep well, eat right, participate in engaging activities, and get hugs, Your need for stimulants from food and drink will go way down. How the Clean Genes Protocol supports your COMT. Diet. Eating balanced meals up to 3 times a day will support your blood sugar and take some pressure off your COMT. Constant snacking, by contrast, stresses your COMT and makes it even dirtier. Eating only until you're 80% full also supports your COMT. Eating until you're full, let alone stuffed, stresses all your genes. On the Clean Genes Protocol, you'll also get all the nutrients you need to support your methylation cycle and your COMT, because your diet will include lots of B vitamins and magnesium, as well as the right amount of protein, neither too much nor too little. Chemicals. Avoiding industrial chemicals will lighten the burden on your liver, where estrogen is metabolized. Adding in sauna, hot yoga, Epsom salt baths, or any means of sweating is a fantastic way to support your liver and move toxins out of the body. We all have them, so we all need to detox. Stress. Stress relief is a huge component of the Clean Genes Protocol. You'll learn to identify your stressors: news, social media, problematic friends, office work on weekends, news-laden TV, depressing movies, and you'll work to eliminate them. I'll also encourage you to identify what your hobbies are, including long-lost activities you absolutely loved when you were younger. Rekindle them and enjoy yourself. Your COMT will thank you for it. For example, I'm done writing this chapter, so I'm going kayaking with my wife. Follow my lead and reward yourself. 7. DAO, oversensitivity to foods. Hunter was a tall, quiet man in his 40s who told me that he hated to complain. When I encouraged him to explain why he had sought my help, he began slowly, but I could hear his pain and frustration. "I'm so tired of not knowing what I can or can't eat," he said finally. "One meal I'm good, and the next I feel awful. I get headaches. I'm always irritable. If I eat the wrong thing, I get sweaty and my heart races. I have itchy skin, and I get frequent nosebleeds. What the heck?" I asked Hunter what his previous physicians had told him, and he shook his head. "My wife finally convinced me to spend a ton of money on food allergy testing, and it showed nothing. We have a neighbor with allergies, and she told me to keep limiting my foods one by one until I found the culprit. But I don't know. It's just a never-ending battle." When I confirmed that Hunter had several DAO SNPs, I understood the problem and the solution. The problem was an oversensitivity to histamine, a biochemical that affects immune response and gut function. Histamine is also a neurotransmitter that affects thought and emotion. Some people develop specific immune responses, either allergies or intolerances, to specific types of food. For those people, it may be possible to run a blood test and discover antibodies for responses to those specific foods. Another approach that works for some people is to do an elimination test. Cut out all but a few safe foods from your diet, and then add foods in one by one. When you have an unfavorable response, such as increased itching, headache, or faster pulse rate, you know that particular food is challenging for you. However, neither of these approaches worked for Hunter, because his problem wasn't about specific foods. His problem was the result of several factors working together. A dirty DAO. Hunter had been born with a lower-than-normal ability to process histamine. As a result, foods containing lots of histamine would likely, but not necessarily, be challenging for him. A compromised methylation cycle. If the DAO becomes overwhelmed, another gene takes over. That second backup gene relies on methyl groups from SAMe. If the methylation cycle isn't working properly, those methyl groups aren't available. Pathogens. any foreign pathogen triggers histamine release. Some pathogens simply cause histamine release, while others create histamine themselves. Identifying and eliminating gut pathogens is essential in overcoming a dirty DAO. Food allergies. If people eat a food they're allergic to, that allergen triggers histamine release and overwhelms the DAO. Oftentimes, food allergies are caused by other problems, such as poor digestion or a leaky gut. Leaky gut. Leaky gut is a condition of the intestinal lining that allows partially digested matter into the bloodstream, where it triggers an immune response. More on this later in the chapter. When Hunter's gut wall was strong and had a lot of integrity, he could handle high histamine foods fairly well. When his gut was leaky, which in his case was intermittent, histamine foods became more challenging. So a food that Hunter ate in, say, March, might give him trouble, while the same food eaten in, say, June, might cause no problems. Poor digestion. Again, poor digestion exacerbates the problem with a dirty DAO, while good digestion minimizes the problem. Weak digestion is defined as lower stomach acid, pancreatic enzymes, and/or bile. When any of these are low, it is easier for pathogens to invade the digestive tract and set up shop. This leads to higher histamine levels as the pathogens either trigger immune responses, which triggers histamine, or the pathogens release histamine themselves. I laid out our master plan with Hunter. I told him that we were going to strengthen his gut, improve his digestion, and replenish his microbiome, the community of gut bacteria that are crucial for digestion, as well as many other functions. During the initial phase, while his digestive system was improving, he should avoid leftovers, which increase in histamine the longer they sit, due to bacteria producing histamine, which occurs even with refrigeration. Freezing prevents this from happening, however, as well as other high histamine foods, such as cured meats, soured foods, dried fruits, citrus fruits, aged cheese, including goat cheese, many types of nuts, smoked fish, and certain species of fresh fish. Hunter could enjoy some of those foods, which he was relieved to hear, but I told him that we were going to find his sweet spot. As his gut healed and his microbiome became more robust, he would probably be able to increase the amount and variety of histamine-containing foods. "Okay," Hunter said, when we had gone over our first steps. "I don't mind telling you, I'm relieved. It actually sounds like there's hope." He paused. "I still wish I hadn't been born this way," he admitted. "With a problem like this, I mean. Other people seem to be able to eat what they want. I wish I could." "I look at it just the opposite," I told him. "Other people can eat all sorts of food that isn't healthy for them, and for years they don't realize they have a problem. Maybe they're a little less energetic, or they get a couple of headaches now and then, or they have a little acne, or they get indigestion. But it all seems like small stuff, and they just brush it aside." Hunter nodded. "Then when they turn 40 or 50 or 60, suddenly they have major problems. Problems that have been building up for years and they didn't even notice. Their problems crept up on them. Yours are yelling loudly, trying to get your attention. You feel so bad from any unhealthy choice that you're really motivated to clean up your diet, get the sleep you need, and make all the other changes that your body is calling for." Hunter stared at me for a moment. "I never thought of it like that," he said. Your DAO in action. Sad, but true. Pain and discomfort drive change, while comfort drives routine. I say that as somebody who has been struggling with symptoms and disorders created by my own dirty genes, including a MTHFR gene with only 30% function, and a DAO gene that functions well below par. My whole childhood, I had major stomach aches. For most of my life, I wrestled with depression, irritability, chemical sensitivity, and a bunch of other symptoms. In college, I couldn't even enjoy a couple of beers with my teammates on the rowing crew. They could breeze through a campus party that would leave me hungover and miserable the next day. I later learned that my vigorous exercise on the rowing team put a lot of demands on my methylation cycle, which meant that methylating alcohol was an extra challenge I just couldn't handle. But what has been the result of all those health issues? I now understand exactly what my body needs and which choices keep me feeling terrific. I lead an active life, working hard and playing hard, kayaking with my sons, hiking in the nearby woods, taking care of our huge garden, not to mention running my business, doing research, and now writing this book. I'm not sure I'd be in such good shape if my dirty jeans hadn't forced me to take a long, hard look at what my body really needed. So if you, like Hunter and me, were born with a dirty DAO gene, take heart. Your friends and loved ones born with clean DAO genes may be able to hold out longer as they damage their gut and microbiome, but our bodies are forcing us to make changes. In the long run, I think we're the lucky ones. DAO, the basics. Primary function of the DAO gene. The DAO gene produces the DAO enzyme, which is found in most organs, but is especially plentiful in your small intestine, prostate, colon, kidney, and placenta, when you have one. The DAO enzyme helps process a key biochemical called histamine. Your body's supply of histamine exists in two places, within your cells and outside your cells. Your DAO gene is focused on expelling the histamine that lives outside your cells, mainly in your gut. Some of that histamine is produced by the bacteria that live in certain foods, such as fermented foods, cured meat, and aged cheese. Certain probiotics, such as many species of lactobacillus, produce histamine. Certain gut bacteria produce high amounts of histamine. Some histamine is produced by your own immune system in response to stress and to potential dangers from the foods you eat. The right amount of histamine helps keep you healthy, but too much can overexcite your immune system, causing it to overreact to certain foods and even to your own tissues. Effects of a dirty DAO. You tend to overreact to the histamine in your gut. As a result, you're more likely to develop food sensitivities and allergic reactions. You might also absorb the histamine in your gut, which means it gets into your blood and then into your cells. When your cellular histamine is too high, you're vulnerable to neurological disorders, such as Parkinson's disease. Signs of a dirty DAO. Common signs include allergic reactions, such as hives, runny nose, and itchiness, and food sensitivities, car sickness and seasickness, leaky gut, migraine, nausea, indigestion, pregnancy complications, and SIBO. Potential strengths of a dirty DAO. It's an advantage to be aware of allergens and trigger foods right away, before they have the chance to make you sick. To see if you have symptoms of a dirty DAO, check out the questionnaire on the enhancement. Meet histamine, your problematic ally. Like so many biochemicals, histamine is a double-edged sword. We depend on it, but it can cause a multitude of health problems. It also depends on how much histamine, where the histamine is located, and how the rest of your body is behaving. One key function of histamine is to combat pathogens in your gut. After all, you never know what might be in your food or water. If a dangerous bacterium or a toxic substance is lurking there, histamine to the rescue. It stimulates your immune system to release killer chemicals that attack the dangerous invader and keep your body safe. Histamine also plays a role in gut motility, that is, the ability of your intestines to keep first food and then waste moving through. You don't want either food or waste to linger inside you. The rotting material releases loads of toxins, which you want outside your body, not in. So thank you, histamine, for keeping things moving. Finally, Histamine helps your stomach secrete the acids it needs to digest protein. Once you've swallowed a bite of food, it lands in your stomach, where it breaks down into its components. Animal flesh, in particular, needs acid to break down fully, and histamine helps your stomach release enough acid to get the job done. So you want histamine in your digestive tract, but not too much histamine. An excess of histamine can falsely trigger your immune system to release killer chemicals and create inflammation. Yet, because, in this case of false alarm, there's no actual enemy to kill, your immune system is overstimulated for nothing and ends up hurting you, the very person it's trying to protect. Enter DAO, whose job it is to help your body clear out unwanted histamine. But if there's too much histamine, your DAO is overworked and can't do a great job. And if your DAO is not overworked but also dirty, it doesn't function well even with ordinary amounts of histamine. So where does all that histamine come from? Well, when you eat protein, you ingest a compound called histidine. Then in the process of digestion, certain bacteria turn that histidine into histamine. In addition, a lot of histamine comes from high histamine foods, foods that contain live bacteria, fermented foods, including yogurt, raw sauerkraut, kimchi, and pickles, and foods that were created by live bacteria, aged cheese, cured meats. Fruit juice, alcohol, and kombucha are additional sources of histamine. Bone broth is all the rage these days. And boy, talk about a histamine bomb. Your takeaway? Adding the histamine from these foods to the histamine that's already in your gut can be too much, especially if you have a dirty DAO. For a list of high histamine foods and drinks, take a look at the enhancement. Your marvelous microbiome. Just a few years ago, almost no one had heard of the microbiome. And yet it's one of the most important parts of your anatomy. Well, it's not exactly your anatomy. Your microbiome is composed of trillions of bacteria that live in your gut and elsewhere in your body, with cells outnumbering your human cells by a factor of 10 to 1, and genes outnumbering your human genes by a factor of 150 to 1. The microbiome evolved along with us. So there are many functions in our body that simply wouldn't work without the assistance of this microbial community. For example, digestion. We don't digest fiber. Our gut bacteria do. They ferment it as they feed on it, producing acids and other biochemicals that are vital to a number of different human functions, from digestion to the regulation of thought and mood. You want a strong, diverse, robust microbiome that includes a variety of gut bacteria in the right proportions. Because when your gut bacteria go out of balance, when you have too much of some types and not enough of others, then, my friends, you've got trouble. Antibiotics, which kill dangerous bacteria but also destroy big swaths of your microbiome, can contribute to this imbalance. So can stress, a long-term illness or infection, poor diet, toxic exposure, and digestive issues such as leaky gut syndrome. If your bacterial balance is disrupted by any of these factors, you may end up with excess histamine in your gut. As a result, your immune system will produce too many killer chemicals and a bunch of unpleasant symptoms. Now, you might try to restore your bacterial balance by taking probiotics, powders, pills, or capsules containing live bacteria. Eating fermented foods, which, as we saw above, also contain live bacteria, is another great way to restore microbial balance. Often, this is a recommended approach, especially if you are or have recently been taking antibiotics. But here's the rub. Fermented foods promote histamine, and so do some probiotics. On the other hand, some probiotics help your body to break down histamine. So in a perfect world, you want a balance. Fermented foods and probiotics to support your microbiome, but overall a healthy rather than an excessive level of histamine in your gut. This balance is harder to achieve, but all the more important if you have a dirty DAO. Your biggest defender. From your mouth all the way down to your anus is one long continuous tube. Your mouth, throat, esophagus, stomach, small intestine, large intestine, rectum, and anus are all connected, with little valves between each portion of that digestive tract, opening and closing as needed. What happens when you eat and drink? The digestive process starts with your saliva, which allows your food and drink to slide down your throat, through your esophagus, and into your stomach, where they get processed by stomach acid. In the small intestine, your food and drink are further processed by digestive enzymes and bile. In the large intestine, beneficial bacteria do further processing. Whatever is left leaves your body as stool. This long, continuous tube not only helps you digest your food, but also protects you from harmful bacteria, parasites, viruses, and chemicals in your food and drink. This protection is carried out by built-in defenses, your stomach acid, digestive enzymes, bile, and microbiome. When any portion of this protection falters, your DAO is likely to be overwhelmed. Take a look at the enhancement for a list of what makes DAO dirty. Hello, leaky gut. Amazingly, the lining of your gut wall is only one cell thick. Each of those cells fits tightly with its neighbors, held by so-called tight junctions, the barriers between cells designed to seal in any liquids, solids, or chemicals inside your gut. Within this wall, inside your gut, food is broken down into its most basic components, molecules of protein called amino acids, carbohydrates, such as glucose, fats, such as cholesterol, vitamins, and minerals. Only then are nutrients small enough to make it through those tight junctions. Everything else stays inside your digestive tract. On the other side of your gut, your immune system stands guard in many places, such as your bloodstream, liver, and spleen. This makes sense. If something sneaks out of your digestive tract and into the rest of your body, your immune system is standing by, ready to attack as needed. Now, what happens if those tight junctions loosen up? This is a condition known as intestinal permeability, or leaky gut. Through these larger openings pass morsels of food that are only partially digested, a form that your immune system isn't equipped to recognize. At first, these partially digested foods get through without being attacked. But if too many invaders cross your gut wall, your immune system fires up. It begins to tag these foods as dangerous invaders, a common response to cow's milk or dairy, gluten, which also promotes the opening of the tight junctions, and a number of other foods. Basically, whatever you eat frequently can trigger an immune reaction when you have leaky gut syndrome. This is why people often have trouble with foods they used to be able to eat. They remove those problem foods, introduce new ones, and then a month later they're reacting to the new foods too. Sound familiar? Your immune system creates antibodies geared to recognize any food that leaks through. Once they've been created, whenever you eat even a tiny bite of the problem food, the antibodies cue your immune system to send out killer chemicals. The more often you eat these foods, the harder your immune system will work to deal with the war you've created. Your joints hurt, brain fog settles in, and you're tired. This immune response is also known as inflammation. As we've seen, chronic inflammation, the sort of inflammation that never goes away because it's continually triggered and re-triggered by diet, stress, and other chronic factors, is bad for your health. And what else is going on while your gut is leaking? You guessed it. Your body is generating extra histamine. The histamine is intended to calm the inflammatory process, but too much of it creates a vicious cycle, re-triggering the immune system and causing the release of yet more histamine, All of this makes it hard for your leaky gut to heal, as well as dirtying up your DAO. So now you've got at least three vicious cycles. Gut, immune system, histamine. Each of which is making the other two worse and further burdening your DAO. To make matters even worse, the DAO enzyme, whose job we've noted is to process histamine, lives in the cells of your gut wall. So if your gut wall is distressed, with fewer cells and less integrity, you're going to have less of that DAO enzyme, and thus even fewer resources for processing histamine. This is why healing a leaky gut can vastly increase your tolerance for certain foods. Finally, with tight junctions, you have the DAO enzyme to process those foods. Luckily, by paying attention to diet, exercise, sleep, toxic exposure, and stress, you can replenish your microbiome, heal your leaky gut, and lower your histamine levels. All of those steps lighten the burden on your DAO, replenish your DAO enzyme, and ensure that you have enough methyl groups to keep your backup histamine gene well methylated. What about antihistamines? Lots of people ask me whether antihistamines are effective against the problems addressed in this chapter. It's a logical question. If your DAO is overwhelmed by too much histamine, you might think you could support it by taking an antihistamine, a compound that blocks the body's response to histamine. There are two ways to answer this question. One is, maybe, depending on which antihistamine you take, your symptoms might reduce or disappear altogether. Zyrtec, for example, a popular antihistamine used for seasonal allergies, impacts how histamine binds to histamine receptors, thus mitigating your symptoms. Likewise, Benadryl blocks your histamine receptors, so that histamine can't bind to them. Since mania and insomnia are both associated with high histamine levels, some doctors will even prescribe Benadryl for those conditions, and indeed, the symptoms reduce. Notice, though, that I didn't say Zyrtec or Benadryl lowers your histamine levels. You've still got high levels of histamine. They're just not binding to the receptors that normally receive them. The second you stop taking the medication, your histamine levels bind where they normally do, and your symptoms come roaring back. This yo-yo effect keeps you reliant upon the antihistamine drugs. So here's my second answer, which I like better. Do you want to be on antihistamines for life, or do you want to solve the problem at its root? Because the way to solve the root cause of your problem is, you already know this, to clean up your genes. It's not always easy, but it is simple. The antacid connection. Here's another problem with too much histamine in your gut. It causes acid reflux and heartburn. In fact, the class of antacids known as proton pump inhibitors, PPIs, behave like antihistamines and block your histamine receptors. But, like antihistamines, antacids don't lower your histamine levels. They just change your body's response to histamine. I would so much rather you stopped eating high histamine foods and cleaned up your DAO and other dirty genes. That's a much better long-term solution than being hooked for life on Prilosec or Zantac. For a list of key nutrients and foods for a healthy DAO, please refer to the enhancement. Making the most of DAO. Hunter and I spoke a few weeks after our first meeting, and he was doing much better. He had already started to figure out which histamine-containing foods gave him the most trouble. In his case, sauerkraut, pickles, salami, and red wine, and which he could sometimes manage in small amounts. Aged goat's or sheep's milk cheese, yogurt, and kefir. In addition, he was making good use of a supplemental probiotic that helps process histamine. Hunter also realized that he needed to limit leftovers, focusing only on fresh food. Remember, the older the foods, the more histamine-producing bacteria are present. "It's sort of a pain," Hunter told me in his quiet way, "but it's worth it, because all those symptoms are gone and I've got more energy than I've had in years." Although Hunter had cut out fermented vegetables and raw sauerkraut, those foods have enormous benefits for the microbiome. I reassured him that, as his system got stronger, he'd be able to add some back in. Here are some other suggestions to support your DAO. You can start them right away